Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Lenten meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who exalts the humble and humbles the exalted, dear fellow redeemed, brushing your teeth, checking your email, opening the door, eating your lunch, picking up a book, turning the pages. What do all those mundane activities have in common? Well, other than that, many people do that every day, and I'm sure that you have done probably all those things today. They all are accomplished by using our hands. In fact, we find it very difficult to even imagine trying to do these things without hands. Because hands are so indispensable, it should not surprise us that we find that hands are also very important during Jesus' suffering and passion. And that's our theme for this Lenten midweek sermons, the hands of the passion. But the hands we're going to look at this evening don't belong to anybody who was really in the passion history, like Judas or Caiaphas or Pilate or the soldiers or even Jesus himself. The hands are of two people that Jesus mentioned in our sermon text, one of whom reflects the main thought of Ash Wednesday. This parable of the Pharisee publican is well known by all of us. In fact, we preached on this very same text a year ago in Lent, with our series on ironies of the passion. And as we once again look at this text and imagine what these two men looked like and listen to their prayer, I want you to do something that you probably are never asked to do, and that is to picture these man's hands. To do so, to see the connection between the action of their hands and the attitudes of their hearts. And based on our study from our text this evening, we'll apply what we observe to our own life to appreciate and to embrace what it means to have hands of repentance. The setting for this parable is the temple, house of God. We're introduced to two people, a Pharisee and a tax collector. Both of them went into the sacred place for one purpose, the same purpose, to pray to God. And interestingly enough, both begin their prayers with the same word, God. But there the similarities cease. The first person we're introduced to is a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the spiritual elite of the Jewish society. They always were taking the high moral road. They were looked upon as being outwardly more moral, more obedient, more reverent than the normal people of Israel. And they wanted to, like this man here, wanted to make sure everybody saw that and everybody knew that. And so he prayed, God, I thank you. That's a beautiful beginning. We've maybe prayed those prayers many times. In fact, we teach our children to say thank you to God in their prayers and then bring up the things they're requesting. If you would have just stopped there, dear God, I thank you, amen. What a wonderful prayer it would have been. But unfortunately, he continued. Dear God, I thank you that I am not like others, other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. In our text, we're told the Pharisee was standing up in the church, and no doubt he had his hands high in the air so that everybody could see him. But even if he had his hands folded in front of him, what he was saying was a verbal pat on the back. He was no extortioner. He was no robber. He kept the seventh commandment. He was no adulterer. He kept the sixth commandment. In fact, as far as he was concerned, he had kept all of God's commandments. But in reality, that wasn't true. In fact, this man thought, not only have I kept his commandments, I've gone far beyond what God commands in his law. I did even more than, and I want to make sure that God knows that in case he didn't see it. And so he says at the end of his prayer, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The law of Moses demanded that faithful Jewish people would fast at least once a year on that great day of atonement. And they were to give tithes of all that they earned or that they produced. This man fasted twice a week and gave tithes of all that he owned, all that he possessed. And on the surface, this Pharisee looked like a very, very good person. Because of his morality, because of his outward work, the common people say, now there goes a righteous person. There goes a good man. And so as Jesus is telling this parable, no doubt they're thinking, what a good and righteous man that Pharisee is. But then we go beneath the surface. What was in the Pharisee's heart? What was in his head? What compelled him to make such a prayer that he gave? Well, Jesus doesn't give us the motivation behind the Pharisee, so we've got to kind of reflect on it and suggest it. But more than likely, he was so filled with himself, so enamored with his own works, so blind to his sinful, selfish pride, they didn't really realize how arrogant his prayer was. You know, he truly believed that he had kept God's commandments. And he wanted to look good in the eyes of the people, wanted to make sure God knew that, and he truly believed that he also looked good in the eyes of God. But Ash Wednesday is all about you and me looking to the law of God and being honest with ourselves and seeing what we're really like. Acknowledging our sins. Ash Wednesday is all about us confessing our sins, all about us looking to Jesus alone for forgiveness, life, and salvation. This Pharisee did not acknowledge his sins, saw no need for forgiveness or repentance. So it didn't matter how many prayers he made, didn't matter how many times he fasted, didn't matter how much money he gave or how much good works he did, he went home empty-handed and empty-hearted because God said, or Jesus said, he was not justified in God's sight. Those who were in the temple probably didn't even recognize the other man Jesus is talking about. We're told he stood at a far distance, possibly in the rear of the temple. His eyes were downcast, his head bent low. He was so ashamed that he didn't even fold his hands in prayer. He clenched them and beat on his chest. He knew what he was. He knew what he deserved. He was a lost and condemned sinner. And all he could cry out was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector did not try to compare himself with other people that he knew was even worse than him to make himself look better. He didn't give God a whole list of resume of good things that he did to try and make himself look better before God, or at least better in the eyes of people. Instead, he looked at himself as he truly was. A lost, miserable, condemned sinner before God. But he didn't despair. He instead recognized his only hope was to throw himself upon the mercy of God. You know, it wasn't a very long prayer, only 7 words in the English, but it was powerful because it came from the heart. It came from a repentant and faithful and humble heart. And the faith of the tax collector was rewarded. Jesus says at the end of this parable, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." As we read in this sermon text at the beginning of this, before Luke even gives the parable, he tells us to whom Jesus was speaking. Who's the audience of this parable? Luke says, "Jesus spoke this parable to people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, looked down on others." So as you look out into the crowd of people you know, can you identify anyone who fits that description? Maybe the fellow classmate, he's always telling you, or she's always telling you, how good he or she is. Maybe the fellow worker is always telling you, "You're not doing that right because I always do my work perfectly." Or maybe it's a friend of yours that sends a Christmas card and always bragging about what they do, how good they do it, and all their exploits. But if you look more closely at that crowd of people you know, perhaps you'll see someone who looks a lot like you. When we complain about people who think that they're better than us, aren't we making ourselves better than them? When we criticize those who look down on others, aren't we looking our nose down on them? Now, we probably would never stand up in church and call out another member or say, "I'm better than that person or that person." But does God have to also condemn us and judge us because we have at times, like the Pharisee, pass judgments on others privately in our hearts, privately in our minds? Because of our sinful, selfish nature, it is so easy for us to fall into the same kind of attitude and actions of the Pharisee. And that's why Jesus told this parable. He wants us to really listen carefully, examine it, and then pray to him to give us the same kind of attitude and actions as the tax collector. We need to fold our hands and lay open our hearts, not just on Ash Wednesday, but every day of our life, and cry out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then we need to do one more thing. We need to look at this parable one more time and see the third person in that parable. There was the Pharisee, there was the publican, and there was the one who told the parable, Jesus himself. If anyone had a legitimate reason to brag and boast about himself, it would be Jesus. He perfectly obeyed and loved his parents, his stepfather. He perfectly obeyed his heavenly Father, loved and honored his Father in thought, word, and deed. Not for his own benefit, not so that he would be looked upon as being great and righteous in the eyes of people and something to brag about. Everything he did was for you and for me and for everyone. If anyone had a legitimate reason not to be humble, it'd be Jesus. He was not just a man, he was God. He knows all, he sees all, he hears all, he rules all. He's the creator with the Father, and yet he made himself nothing. He humbled himself to become a human being with flesh and blood. He took on the role of a humble servant. He allowed himself to be humiliated and eventually crucified and executed, not for his sins, because he had no sins, but again, everything he did was for you and for me. For us sinners. Because of Jesus' great love He took our place. He lived that perfect life for us in our place. He died upon the cross in our place in order to give us a place right beside him in our heavenly home. Because of his great love for us, Jesus gives us the gift of prayer. We can talk to him anytime, anywhere, and about anything. And he promises us that when we pray, he will hear all our prayers and answer all our prayers and give us exactly what he knows is best. Because of his great love for us, he gives us in the Lord's Supper his very body and blood for the blessed assurance of an individual, personal forgiveness of all of our sins, full and free forgiveness through his shed blood. Because of his great love for us, we don't have to be weighed down by our guilt. Because of his great love for us, we have absolutely nothing to fear. Our Savior will be with us every day of our lives. Because of Jesus, we know where we are going when we die. We can leave this house of worship this evening with humble and confident hearts because we are in the best hands. We are in the forgiving, loving hands of our Savior God. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.